opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Here's how you count to 8, 3, 2, 1. And for the 8th time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. C-A-T-S. Champs, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Going blue!
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the podcasts. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
All right, welcome into another edition of the podcasts. I'm Kenny Colston. Alongside me, as always, is Chris Littrell. Chris, tell everyone hello.
Hello, everyone.
All right, I'm just checking to see if we were done with all the special hellos, but I was just testing you. I didn't know maybe you would have brought it back, but
go Germany.
Yo, is that who you're cheering for today?
Oh yeah.
I could care less, to be honest with you. I guess
motherland.
Yeah, I guess Argentina just for kicks. But who really cares? I don't care at this point. So, anyways. This is a UK sports podcast, and, you know, for weeks we've been joking, Chris, that there's going to be a week where there's absolutely no news, and then we get blessed with something happens every single week, and it's like, oh, well, there is news. Well, I think we finally hit our midsummer. There's not really any news, but we're still going to try to get a show out of this because we're professionals, and we have nothing better to do.
Nope.
So... So let's start with something that's kind of only a peripheral UK thing. And, you know, I hate to do this because for the last 3-4 days, however long it's been, whenever you at home listen to this, however long it's been, but everyone knows by now, even my grandma knows that LeBron James is going back to Cleveland. And this is only relevant to UK for one reason, and that is what, roughly a month to 6 weeks ago, word got out that Coach Cal was going, had an offer from Cleveland to be coach and vice president of player personnel. So basically coach and GM. And he turned it down. A lot of money. And the whole idea was LeBron could come back to Cleveland and Cal might help entice him to do that. And so, you know, Cal's a good coach. Let's just do that. Well, Cal turns it down. And so I saw a lot of this from the U of L fans. Oh my God, Cal could have coached LeBron. How do you pass that up? What a dummy. I haven't read the article because I know how I feel about this, but I know Tim Sullivan wrote a column in the Courier about how Cal missed out on it. I don't know what he says, so I'm not going to rip him either way, but it's out there. That whole idea that, oh man, Coach Cal's a big idiot. He could have coached LeBron James. The Cavs are going to win the NBA championship. You know, he could have been set. And so I'm curious, that with that premise in mind, did Cal miss out? Did he make a bad decision? Should he have gone to, you know, put your UK fandom aside, I guess, or keep the blue colored glasses on? I don't care. But, you know, from Cal's standpoint, did he make a mistake?
If he was the head coach of the Idaho State University or Midwest Texas State A&M University, and he had a chance to jump to the NBA and coach LeBron James, maybe that would have been a mistake. But he's got a pretty good gig right now as it is. He's had some astronomical success for the last 5 years where he's at right now. My thing is this. They've made a really big deal out of the fact that at one point in time, Coach Cal made the comment that he would like to coach LeBron James someday, and he's stated that publicly. My thing is this: how many coaches wouldn't say the same thing? I mean, that's like saying I'd like to own a yacht someday, or I'd like to live in a mansion someday. Every coach in college, high school, junior high, or the pros would like to coach LeBron James someday. So I don't put a lot of stock in, you know, the fact that that's what he envisions as his ultimate goal or his ultimate job, and that someday he's going to make that jump so that he can go coach LeBron. Any coach would want to coach LeBron. So, and Cal makes those statements publicly because that's what Cal does. He's a self-promoter. He's a salesman. That's the kind of guy that we want as our head coach, and that's what he does. So I don't, you know, put a lot of stock in the comments that he makes like that. I think he's doing that to keep his name relevant, keep his name out there. It doesn't mean that he's going to jump ship the next chance he gets. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, bet against the fact that in maybe 3 years, if this coach that Cleveland just hired maybe doesn't pan out, or LeBron and him don't see eye to eye, that maybe, you know, in 3 years, Cal's going to get another shot at coaching LeBron. I could definitely see that happening. But as far as did he make a mistake, no, because look what he's got coming back. He might be getting ready to win his second national championship, you know, in 4 years this coming year. So when you put it in that kind of perspective, I don't see it as being a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of set up this whole premise with the idea of how I feel about this, because I'm not entirely sure. Yes, hindsight's 20/20, and so looking at it in hindsight, maybe Cal passed things up, and it's been made to seem like this was always going to happen. You know, LeBron's SAR, I was always going to come back home, I was always going to do this or that, you know, and so it makes it seem like it was a slam dunk. I don't really believe that it was a slam dunk that LeBron would have come back this year to Cleveland. But here's the thing. There's a lot of unknowns. I mean, before LeBron said he was coming back to Cleveland, what did people think of the Cavaliers? Not very – a young team that, you know, maybe in a few years could be good. But Kyrie Irving is good. Injury prone, but good. Wiggins could be the next great superstar in the NBA, a la Kevin Durant. But you don't know. Not yet. You know, he's been getting pushed around in summer league games. Probably needs to bulk up for a year. Anthony Bennett, bust. Tristan Thompson's pretty good. Anderson Varejao's pretty good, but usually ends up hurt. So, I mean, they were a good young nucleus, but they were really not ready to go anywhere. It was still a rebuilding project with the hopes of getting LeBron. And it still could be a rebuilding project. There's no guarantee. I mean, if you look at the Heat from their first year, you can have a stash of talent, but if they can't play well together, then you don't have as much. So even with LeBron, the Cavs are a work in progress in my mind. Now, they're not as bad as a work in progress, obviously, when you have the best player in the NBA on your team. But, you know, it's going to take some time for Kyrie Irving and Wiggins to get used to LeBron. You know, maybe they get Kevin Love, but it takes some time to gel. It's not saying they won't make the finals, but it could be hard to actually win a finals against a team like San Antonio, or even the Thunder, who've been together for a few years. With that being said, look at what UK has coming back. If, you know, the Cavs at the time Cal was going to take them, or take that job if he was, were 100-1 odds to win the NBA championship, which I kind of bet the likelihood of something on odds. So at 100-1 odds, it's not very likely it's going to happen. Kentucky, in the meantime, I believe is the front runner. If not the front runner, one of the top two in the Las Vegas books to win the national championship. Basically have an entire national runner-up team returning, sans two, but you've, you know, supplemented that with a huge recruiting class. So, at UK, Cal's the man. No one really questions him. He already is basically GM, coach. I mean, at the college level, you're coach, GM, recruiter, you're everything. You're already like that. You don't have to hold multiple titles. He has the front runner for a national champion to come back. He can do no wrong. And it gives him a year or two to win a national championship and, like you said, still go to the Cavaliers. I mean, what if this coach, this guy who's the coach of the Cavaliers, has coached overseas most of his life, you know? So what if he doesn't pan out? I mean, look, when you have a great player, the NBA, it's a lot of a player-driven league. A guy like LeBron, you almost, I hate to say it because Cal gets criticized for this, but you almost just roll the balls out on the court. You know what I'm saying? You know who's going to take the shot. LeBron can lead a team as a coach on the floor. It's not that hard. He's that good. It's like Jordan, you know, or Kobe. He can do that. But what if this guy doesn't work out? What if he clashes with LeBron? And it's not saying that Cal still couldn't leave. So to say that he made a bad decision now, I think is just kind of a cheap shot. I mean, he can win a national championship, a second one. That would cement his legacy on the college level. And if he wanted to take one more shot at the NBA, I still think that's there. I don't think that's ruled out, even with his contract extension. Maybe he doesn't want to go back to the NBA. You know, who wouldn't, like you said, who wouldn't? Which coach would say, I don't want to coach LeBron. Maybe, like, you don't want to coach Jordan? You don't want to coach, you know, Magic? You want to coach Magic? I mean, yeah, you want someone that is that talented, you always want that opportunity. You know, you want that opportunity to see if you can make them better, use their talents. It's endless possibilities. So I'd just like to out in front just poo-poo this whole Cal made a stupid decision. What a loser. How does a guy who comes back with the odds-on favorite to win the national championship, how can you call that a bad decision with all the control in the world? I mean, that's just short-sighted. Anyone who says that, I have to discredit them, whether they're a fan or a journalist or that's insane to me.
Yeah, it's just it's an easy story to write. It's an easy story to report on. ESPN took this whole LeBron James thing and made it into the biggest soap opera. They had the LeBron James special on ESPN radio the other night. I turned it over to WHAS, and that's all they were talking about. I've gotten kind of sick of it, but that's just how the media is in general, whether it's sports or hard news. They take a story and they pound it in the ground. It makes their day easy. If LeBron James is getting ready to make his decision, well, then that's what they're going to talk about all day. And the whole Coach Cal connection to that, especially, you know, in this area, it just makes an easy story and it makes an easy day's work for a lot of these reporters who really don't know what they're talking about in the first place. I mean, the vast majority of them are total hacks. So the easier the story is, I mean, if it's just right there for them on a silver platter, they're going to make something out of it. And, you know, again, you don't coach LeBron James. I mean, if you really wanted to translate his statement, what he was really saying is he would like to be in the NBA someday if LeBron James was on the team that he's coaching. I mean, who wouldn't want that? So, you know, it might be that might have been Cal's way of saying, you know, the NBA still is intriguing to me. However, I wouldn't go back to the NBA unless I knew that my team was good enough to win the championship, you know, the year that I signed on to be the head coach. And everybody that's in coaching would feel the exact same way.
Yeah, I don't see how you could say otherwise. Anybody given that opportunity would have to take it. Just to hark back on your whole pounding this into the ground, I believe when I was watching CNN this morning, they actually debated for a while whether or not LeBron coming back to Cleveland was going to be a problem for the National Republican Party because they have their convention. They picked Cleveland as their convention site in 2016, and if the Cavaliers are in the playoffs, would that disrupt the convention? The funny thing is usually those conventions – well, they've talked about moving the conventions up, which is why I think this is a problem. Instead of July or August, it would be in June. But I'm sure they could schedule around that. But that's just – when CNN is taking politics and LeBron James and mixing them without him – declaring for office, you know, it's kind of hit its saturation point. But
yeah,
interesting. I just wanted to address that is the one piece of UK/Cal in there. I just think it's being blown out of proportion. Not the whole LeBron thing, probably is, but that one effort. Oh, he's an idiot for passing it up. That's just that is low hanging fruit. That's a cheap shot, 100%. And I don't believe it's relevant at all. Switching gears a little bit. The team was able to have its first actual, and I don't know if you can call it a team practice or not, but basically the NCAA a couple of years ago switched the rules that coaches can have up to 2 hours of team instruction during the summer. So I think like once a week they can get 2 hours. They can do it however they want, but I think most of them take it in a 2 hour chunk. And the assistants are doing individual drills, but this actually gets the whole team together. I think they scrimmage a whole lot, stuff like that. But Cal released a video this past week, kind of talking about that first practice, and it was throwing steaks to the dogs. I mean, you know, this is Cal is a salesman. We've talked about this. We've acknowledged it. And so basically, he was throwing some red meat to a hungry fan base. By usually saying what he says about this time. There are a few things I want to highlight. You know, the first thing he talks about is how this current team loves to be in the gym, which is interesting because you didn't hear that about last year's team, and you have a lot of returners. So I don't know if that means the new guys like to be in the gym and they're pulling the sophomores with them. I don't know, but that's what you heard about the Anthony Davis, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist team, you know. Can't keep them out of the gym. They're going at all hours of the night. So it's interesting. I don't know if there's a renewed fire in the sophomores. I would be interested in the juniors. It would be interesting to see that. Or if this, you know, the freshmen are pushing them and getting in the gym. Either way, I'm happy. So I think that's an interesting highlight of it. Andrew Harrison apparently has lost weight and is more explosive now. That could be interesting because clearly the lowest part of his game was his speed last year. He wasn't quick. He was getting beat off the dribble. Shabazz Napier just killed him off the dribble. And then the third thing that I thought was interesting is, and this may be the most complex, is the once again, Alex Poythress is a monster talk from Cal, which I'm really starting to believe is just trying to get Alex to believe what Cal is saying, not necessarily that it's true, but I don't know. I mean, right now, Alex Poythress seems like a practice hero for me. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's come out big in a couple of games. But for a five-star guy that was supposed to be a one-and-done, who Cal is saying is a monster and one of the best he's ever coached, he's starting to be what, you know, my high school football coach used to say is a practice hero. You know, a guy that was clearly on the second string, clearly was never going to put it together. But, you know, an hour and a half into practice, this guy was still showing up the first stringers because he had nothing to lose. You know, the first stringers are trying not to get hurt for Friday, and this guy is going full speed on the Thursday walkthrough and he's going to get someone's ACL torn. And so I'm wondering, is that Alex Poythress? He just, when no one else is watching except the players and the coaches, is he just a monster? But when the lights turn on, he's like, I don't know. Those are the three things that stuck out to me.
I agree with you totally on Cal's probably trying to just get in his head and make him believe in himself. But to Poythress's credit, I mean, he did finish strong in the tournament. You know, he had some flashes of brilliance in some big games where it looked like maybe he had put it together there at the end of the Louisville game, especially. I think a lot of the deal with Poythress is this coming year is if the team really wants to get something out of him, a lot of it's going to have to do with getting him the ball in the right spot on the floor. And as Cal said last year, he wants him to be a finisher and not a creator. So it's just going to come down to where they put him on the floor and where you get him the ball. But I think that he is poised to maybe, you know, have a slightly breakout season, more so than he did last year. And one more comment I want to make about that too, as far as this team loving to be in the gym and stuff, and you kind of compared it to the 2012 team, to me that shows that maybe there's, you know, going to be some leadership on this team. There's somebody on this team, some players that are showing these younger guys some direction. You know, you had Darius Miller as a senior in 2012, and you had Jones and Lamb who had gone to the Final Four the year before that and, you know, kind of showed those freshmen, you know, how it's supposed to be done, how hard you have to work. And this year is the same thing. You got some guys on this team. You got a couple juniors on this team and some freshmen who, you know, made a run to the title game last year. So I think the fact that, you know, Cal's making the comment that this team loves to be in the gym, loves to work hard, it just kind of shows that there's, you know, as not been the case in some recent years, but there's some veteran leadership on this team that's kind of, you know, taking it upon themselves to push everybody and show everybody how hard you have to work. And I think that's a great thing.
Right. Obviously, we weren't there at the practice. We were just going on Coach Cal's reports. And depending on how you feel about Cal is how you feel about those reports. But it seems to be promising. We're going to find out soon enough. I think one thing that we'll have to address here in the future is the SEC Network, because these August games are going to be either on ESPNU or the SEC Network. And so far, Time Warner is not signed up for the SEC Network. Comcast, who bought Time Warner, not signed up for the SEC Network.
Charter has DirecTV.
Right. Charter Communications, maybe, which is what, you know, is supposed to be coming to the Louisville market thanks to that Time Warner Comcast. But, I mean, obviously not in time for August. So pretty much you're at Dish and UVerse, AT&T UVerse. So if you don't have one of those two, either, I guess, think about switching. Or call your cable or satellite provider and demand the SEC Network if you want to watch those games. So, Chris, do you have anything else that you want to add before we wrap it up for this week?
Well, just to add to that conversation about the SEC Network, I would be absolutely shocked if by the time football season, all of these networks, all these providers didn't have it. I mean, it's too big of a thing to just not have. And you know, that's how these things go down when these contracts run up. They're always in negotiations. You'll always hear commercials on the radio or on TV that says you know, on August 1st, Comcast will no longer carry ESPN if an agreement can't be made. And there, it's a total game of brinksmanship. They both try to wait each other out like a game of chicken until the first person flinches at the last second. And that's what's going to happen here. It might come down to 1 minute before midnight, you know, before the contract gets signed. But I would almost guarantee it's going to happen, because if one provider carries it, the rest are going to have to. There's just too much to lose out on if they don't do it. So it's just going to be one of those things. We're going to have to wait till it gets down to the last minute, and then it'll happen. We'll be able to watch all of our games this year, I guarantee it.
I hope so. The only bad point about that is Time Warner has always been the last one. Notable fights with the NFL over the NFL Network, you know, the Big Ten Network, the Pac-12 Network. So always, unfortunately, Time Warner seems to be that last holdout, and so I don't know what that's going to be the case here in the Kentucky area, the Louisville area, but should be interesting to find out. Anything else you got for this week?
I'm done.
All right, let's end it as we always do. Go Cats!
Go Cats!